You're listening to a Glassbox Media podcast. Before we begin today's episode, you're about to hear from our sponsors. Sponsors make it possible for this show to continue. That said, we recognize that some listeners will prefer to get rid of sponsorship messages and advertisements. If that's you, please consider signing up for the ad-free version of this show. Head on over to icantsleep.supportingcast.fm to sign up and listen on your podcast player of choice. Use code SLEEP for 1 free month of the subscription. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you love falling asleep to the I Can't Sleep podcast, I think I know of a brand new show for you to wake up to. The Daily Book Club is a podcast where the host, Otis Gray, reads classic stories every day, one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Hear amazing tales read start to finish. Whether you want to get engaged and wrapped up in fantastic stories that have stood the test of time, or you just want to relax and listen to a great book, the Daily Book Club is there for you to get lost in however you like. Right now, Otis is reading The Enchanted April. In the 1920s, four women, unfulfilled with life, take a chance and abscond to a dreamy medieval Italian castle in the month of April as the flowers bloom. It's a story dripping with wisteria, the beauty of solitude, and an unlikely pursuit of joy in Portofino, Italy. A perfect book to start this season. You can find The Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. Subscribe so you never miss an episode and tune in each morning to hear what happens next. Welcome to the I Can't Sleep podcast, where I read random articles from across the web to bore you to sleep with my soothing voice. I'm your host, Benjamin Boster. Today's episode is from a Wikipedia article titled Crochet. Crochet is a process of creating textiles by using a crochet hook to interlock loops of yarn, thread, or strands of other materials. The name is derived from the French term croche, which means hook. Hooks can be made from a variety of materials, such as metal, wood, bamboo, bone, or even plastic. The key difference between crochet and knitting, beyond the implements used for their production, is that each stitch in crochet is completed before the next one is begun, while knitting keeps many stitches open at a time. Some variant forms of crochet, such as Tunisian crochet and broomstick lace, do keep multiple crochet stitches open at a time. The word crochet is derived from the French word crochet, a diminutive of croche, in term from the Germanic croch, both meaning hook. It was used in the 17th century French lace making, where the term crochetage designated a stitch used to join separate pieces of lace. The word crochet subsequently came to describe both the specific type of textile and the hook needle used to produce it. In 1567, the tailor of Mary, Queen of Scots, supplied her with silk thread for sewing and crochet. Knitted textiles survived from as early as the 11th century CE, but the first substantive evidence of crocheted fabric emerges in Europe during the 19th century. Earlier work identified as crochet was commonly made by nola binding, a different loop yarn technique. the first known published instructions for crochet explicitly using that term to describe the craft in its present sense, appeared in the Dutch magazine Penelope in 1823. This includes a color plate showing five styles of purse, of which three were intended to be crocheted with silk thread. The first is simple open crochet, a mesh of chain stitch arches. The second starts in a semi-open form, where chain stitch arches alternate with equally long segments of slip stitch crochet, and closes with a star made with double crochet stitches. The third purse is made entirely in double crochet. The instructions prescribe the use of a tambour needle and introduce a number of decorative techniques. The earliest dated reference in English to garments made of cloth produced by looping yarn with a hook, shepherd's knitting, is in the Memoirs of a Highland Lady by Elizabeth Grant, 1797 to 1830. The journal entry itself is dated 1812, but was not recorded in its subsequently published form until sometime between 1845 and 1867, and the actual date of publication was first in 1898. Nonetheless, the 1833 volume of Penelope describes and illustrates a shepherd's hook and recommends its use for crochet with coarser yarn. In 1844, one of the numerous books discussing crochet that began to appear in the 1840s states, "Crochet needles, sometimes called shepherd's hooks, are made of steel, ivory, or boxwood. They have a hook at one end similar in shape to a fish hook, by which the wool or silk is caught and drawn through the work. These instruments are to be produced of various sizes." 2 years later, the same author writes, "Crochet, a species of knitting originally practiced by the peasants in Scotland, with a small hooked needle called a shepherd's hook, has, within the last 7 years, aided by taste and fashion, obtained the preference over all other ornamental works of a similar nature. It derives its present name from the French, the instrument with which it is worked being by them, from its crooked shape, termed crochet. This art has attained its highest degree of perfection in England, whence it has been transplanted to France and Germany, and both countries, although unjustifiably, have claimed the invention." An instruction book from 1846 describes shepherd or single crochet as what in current British usage is either called single crochet or slip stitch crochet, with U.S. American terminology always using the latter, reserving single crochet for use as noted above. It similarly equates double and French crochet. Notwithstanding the categorical assertion of a purely British origin, there is solid evidence of a connection between French tambour embroidery and crochet. French tambour embroidery was illustrated in detail in 1763 in Diderot's Encyclopedia. The tip of the needle shown there is indistinguishable from that of a present-day inline crochet hook, and a chain stitch separated from a cloth support is a fundamental element of the latter technique. The 1823 Penelope instructions unequivocally state that the tambour tool was used for crochet, and the first of the 1840s instruction books uses the terms tambour and crochet as synonyms. This equivalence is retained in the fourth edition of the work, 1847. The strong taper of the shepherd's hook eases the production of slip stitch crochet, but is less amenable to stitches that require multiple loops on the hook at the same time. Early yarn hooks were also continuously tapered, but gradually enough to accommodate multiple loops. The design with a cylindrical shaft that is commonplace today was largely reserved for tambour-style steel needles. Both types gradually merged into the modern form that appeared toward the end of the 19th century, including both tapered and cylindrical segments, and the continuously tapered bone hook remained in industrial production until World War II. The early instruction books made frequent reference to the alternative use of ivory, bone, or wooden hooks, and steel needles in a handle, as appropriate to the stitch being made. taken with the synonymous labeling of shepherds and single crochet, and the similar equivalents of French and double crochet, there is a strong suggestion that crochet is rooted both in tambour embroidery and shepherd's knitting, leading to thread and yarn crochet respectively, a distinction that is still made. The locus of the fusion of all these elements, the invention noted above, has yet to be determined, as does the origin of shepherd's knitting. Shepherd's hooks are still being made for local slip-stitch crochet traditions. A longer continuously tapering design intermediate between it and the 19th century tapered hook was also in earlier production, commonly being made from the handles of forks and spoons. In the 19th century, as Ireland was facing the Great Irish Famine, 1845 to 1849, crochet lace was introduced as a form of famine relief, the production of crocheted lace being an alternative way of making money for impoverished Irish workers. Men, women, and children joined a cooperative in order to crochet and produce products to help with famine relief during the Great Irish Famine. Schools to teach crocheting were started. Teachers were trained and sent across Ireland to teach this craft. When the Irish immigrated to the Americas, they were able to take with them crocheting. Mademoiselle Riego de la Branchadière is generally credited with the invention of Irish crochet, publishing the first book of patterns in 1846. Irish lace became popular in Europe and America and was made in quantity until the First World War. Fashions in crochet changed with the end of the Victorian era in the 1890s. Crocheted laces in the new Edwardian era, peaking between 1910 and 1920, became even more elaborate in texture and complicated stitching. The strong Victorian colors disappeared, though, and new publications called for white or pale threads, except for fancy purses, which were often crocheted of brightly colored silk and elaborately beaded. After World War I, far fewer crochet patterns were published, and most of them were simplified versions of the early 20th century patterns. After World War II, from the late 1940s until the early 1960s, there was a resurgence in interest in home crafts, particularly in the United States, with many new and imaginative crochet designs published for colorful doilies, potholders, and other home items, along with updates of earlier publications. These patterns called for thicker threads and yarns than in earlier patterns and included variegated colors. The craft remained primarily a homemaker's art until the late 1960s and early 1970s, when the new generation picked up on crochet and popularized granny squares, a motif worked in the round and incorporating bright colors. Although crochet underwent a subsequent decline in popularity, the early 21st century has seen a revival of interest in handcrafts and DIY, as well as improvement of the quality and varieties of yarn. As well as books and classes, there are YouTube tutorials and TikTok videos to help people who may need a clear explanation to learn how to crochet. Filet crochet, Tunisian crochet, tapestry crochet, broomstick lace, hairpin lace, crow hooking, and Irish crochet are all variants of the basic crochet method. Crochet has experienced a revival in the catwalk as well. Christopher Kane's Fall 2011 ready-to-wear collection makes intensive use of the granny square, one of the most basic of crochet motifs. In addition, crochet has been utilized many times by designers on the reality show Project Runway. Websites such as Etsy and Ravelry have made it easier for individual hobbyists to sell and distribute their patterns or projects across the internet. Basic materials required for crochet are a hook, scissors to cut yarn, and some type of material that will be crocheted. Most commonly used are yarn or thread. Yarn, one of the most commonly used materials for crocheting, has varying weights, which need to be taken into consideration when following patterns. The weight of the yarn can affect not only the look of the product, but also the feeling. Acrylic can also be used when crocheting, as it is synthetic and an alternative for wool. Additional tools are convenient for making related accessories. Examples of such tools include cardboard cutouts, which can be used to make tassels, fringe, and many other items, a pom-pom circle used to make pom-poms, a tape measure and a gauge measure, both used for measuring crocheted work and counting stitches, a row counter, and occasionally plastic rings, which are used for special projects. In recent years, yarn selections have moved beyond synthetic and plant and animal-based fibers to include bamboo, kivyut, hemp, and banana stalks, to name a few. Many advanced crocheters have also incorporated recycled materials into their work in an effort to go green and experiment with new textures by using items such as plastic bags, old t-shirts or sheets, VCR or cassette tape, and ribbon. The crochet hook comes in many sizes and materials, such as bone, bamboo, aluminum, plastic, and steel. Because sizing is categorized by the diameter of the hook shaft, a crafter aims to create stitches of a certain size in order to reach a particular gauge specified in a given pattern. If gauge is not reached with one hook, another is used until the stitches made are the needed size. Crafters may have a preference for one type of hook material over another due to aesthetic appeal, yarn glide, or hand disorders such as arthritis, where bamboo or wood hooks are favored over metal for the perceived warmth and flexibility during use. Hook grips and ergonomic hook handles are also available to assist crafters. Steel crochet hooks range in size from 0.4 to 3.5 millimeters, or from 0.0 to 16 in American sizing. These hooks are used for fine crochet work such as doilies and lace. Aluminum, bamboo, and plastic crochet hooks are available from 2.5 to 19 millimeters in size, or from B to S in American sizing. Artisan-made hooks are often made of hand-turned woods, sometimes decorated with semi-precious stones or beads. Crochet hooks used for Tunisian crochet are elongated and have a stopper at the end of the handle, while double-ended crochet hooks have a hook on both ends of the handle. There is also a double-hooked apparatus called a crow hook that has become popular. While this is not in itself a hook, it is a device used in conjunction with a crochet hook to produce stitches. Yarn for crochet is usually sold as balls or skeins, hanks, although it may also be wound on spools or cones. Skeins and balls are generally sold with a yarn band, a label that describes the yarn weight, length, dye lot, fiber content, washing instructions, suggested needle size, likely gauge, etc. It's a common practice to save the yarn band for future reference, especially if additional skeins must be purchased. Crocheters generally ensure that the yarn for a project comes from a single dye lot. The dye lot specifies a group of skeins that were dyed together and thus have precisely the same color. Skeins from different dye lots, even if very similar in color, are usually slightly different and may produce a visible stripe when added onto existing work. If insufficient yarn of a single dye lot is bought to complete a project, additional skeins of the same dye lot can sometimes be obtained from other yarn stores or online. The thickness or weight of the yarn is a significant factor in determining how many stitches and rows are required to cover a given area for a given stitch pattern. This is also termed the gauge. Thicker yarns generally require larger diameter crochet hooks, whereas thinner yarns may be crocheted with thick or thin hooks. Hence, thicker yarns generally require fewer stitches and therefore less time to work up a given project. The recommended gauge for a given ball of yarn can be found on the label that surrounds the skein when buying in stores. Patterns and motifs are coarser with thicker yarns and produce bold visual effects, whereas thinner yarns are best for refined or delicate pattern work. Yarns are standardly grouped by thickness into six categories: superfine, fine, light, medium, bulky, and super bulky. Quantitatively, thickness is measured by the number of wraps per inch, WPI. The related weight per unit length is usually measured in techs or denier. Before use, hanks are wound into balls in which the yarn emerges from the center, making crocheting easier by preventing the yarn from becoming easily tangled. The winding process may be performed by hand or done with a ball winder and swift. A yarn's usefulness is judged by several factors, such as its loft, its ability to trap air, its resilience, elasticity under tension, its washability and color fastness, its hand, its feel, particularly softness versus scratchiness, its durability against abrasion, its resistance to pilling, its hairiness, fuzziness, its tendency to twist or untwist, its overall weight and drape, its blocking and felting qualities, its comfort, breathability, moisture absorption, wicking properties, and its appearance, which includes its color, sheen, smoothness, and ornamental features. Other factors include allergenicity, speed of drying, resistance to chemicals, moths and mildew, melting point, inflammability, retention of static electricity, and the propensity to accept dyes. Desirable properties may vary for different projects, so there is no one best yarn. Although crochet may be done with ribbons, metal wire, or more exotic filaments, most yarns are made by spinning fibers. In spinning, the fibers are twisted so that the yarn resists breaking under tension. The twisting may be done in either direction, resulting in a Z-twist or S-twist yarn. If the fibers are first aligned by combing them and the spinner uses a worsted type drafting method, such as the short forward draw, the yarn is smoother and called a worsted. By contrast, if the fibers are carded but not combed and the spinner uses a woolen drafting method, such as the long backward draw, the yarn is fuzzier and called woolen spun. The fibers making up a yarn may be continuous filament fibers, such as silk and many synthetics, or they may be staples, fibers of an average length, typically a few inches. Naturally, filament fibers are sometimes cut up into staples before spinning. The strength of the spun yarn against breaking is determined by the amount of twist, the length of the fibers, and the thickness of the yarn. In general, yarns become stronger with more twist, also called worst, longer fibers, and thicker yarns, more fibers. For example, thinner yarns require more twist than do thicker yarns to resist breaking under tension. The thickness of the yarn may vary along its length. A slub is a much thicker section in which a mass of fibers is incorporated into the yarn. The spun fibers are generally divided into animal fibers, plant, and synthetic fibers. These fiber types are chemically different, corresponding to proteins, carbohydrates, and synthetic polymers, respectively. Animal fibers include silk, but generally are long hairs of animals, such as sheep, wool, goat, angora, or cashmere goat, rabbit, angora, llama, alpaca, dog, cat, camel, yak, and muskox. Plants used for fibers include cotton, flax for linen, bamboo, rami, hemp, jute, nettle, raffia, yucca, coconut husk, banana trees, soy, and corn. Rayon and acetate fibers are also produced from cellulose, mainly derived from trees. Common synthetic fibers include acrylics, polyesters such as Dacron and Ingeo, nylon and other polyamides, and olefins such as polypropylene. Of these types, wool is generally favored for crochet, chiefly owing to its superior elasticity, warmth, and sometimes felting. However, wool is generally less convenient to clean, and some people are allergic to it. It is also common to blend different fibers in the yarn, e.g. 85% alpaca and 15% silk. Even within a type of fiber, there can be great variety in the length and thickness of the fibers. For example, merino wool and Egyptian cotton are favored because they produce exceptionally long, thin, fine fibers for their type. A single spun yarn may be crocheted as is, or braided or plied with another. In plying, two or more yarns are spun together, almost always in the opposite sense from which they were spun individually. For example, two Z-twist yarns are usually plied with an S-twist. The opposing twist relieves some of the yarn's tendency to curl up and produces a thicker, balanced yarn. Plied yarns may themselves be plied together, producing cabled yarns or multi-stranded yarns. Sometimes the yarns being plied are fed at different rates, so that one yarn loops around the other, as in boucle. The single yarns may be dyed separately before plying or afterwards to give the yarn a uniform look. The dyeing of yarns is a complex art. Yarns need not be dyed, or they may be dyed one color or a great variety of colors. Dyeing may be done industrially by hand or even hand painted onto the yarn. A great variety of synthetic dyes have been developed since the synthesis of indigo dye in the mid-19th century. However, natural dyes are also possible, although they are generally less brilliant. The color scheme of a yarn is sometimes called its colorway. Variegated yarns can produce interesting visual effects, such as diagonal stripes. Crocheted fabric is begun by placing a slipknot loop on the hook, though other methods such as a magic ring or simple folding over of the yarn may be used. Pulling another loop through the first loop, and repeating this process to create a chain of a suitable length. The chain is either turned and worked in rows, or joined to the beginning of the row with a slip stitch and worked in rounds. Rounds can also be created by working many stitches into a single loop. Stitches are made by pulling one or more loops through each loop of the chain. At any one time at the end of a stitch, there is only one loop left on the hook. Tunisian crochet, however, draws all of the loops for an entire row onto a long hook before working them off one at a time. Like knitting, crochet can be worked either flat, back and forth in rows, or in the round, in spirals, such as when making tubular pieces. There are six main types of basic stitches. The following description uses U.S. crochet terminology, which differs from the terminology used in the U.K. and Europe. 1. Chain stitch, the most basic of all stitches and used to begin most projects. 2. Slip stitch, used to join chain stitch to form a ring. 3. Single crochet stitch, called double crochet stitch in the U.K., easiest stitch to master. 4. Half double crochet stitch, called half treble stitch in the UK. The in-between stitch, sometimes called short double crochet in vintage publications. 5. Double crochet stitch, called treble stitch in the UK. Yarn over once. Many uses for this unlimited use stitch. 6. Treble or triple crochet stitch, called double treble stitch in the UK, yarn over twice. While the horizontal distance covered by these basic stitches is the same, they differ in height and thickness. The more advanced stitches are often combinations of these basic stitches, or are made by inserting the hook into the work in unusual locations. More advanced stitches include the shell stitch, V stitch, spike stitch, Afghan stitch, butterfly stitch, popcorn stitch, cluster stitch, and crocodile stitch. In the English-speaking crochet world, basic stitches have different names that vary by country. The differences are usually referred to as UK, US, or British American. Crochet is traditionally worked off a written pattern in which stitches and placement are communicated using textual abbreviations. To help counter confusion when reading patterns, a diagram system using a standard international notation has come into use. In the United States, crochet terminology and sizing guidelines, as well as standards for yarn and hook labeling, are primarily regulated by the Craft Yarn Council. Another terminological difference is known as tension, UK, and gauge, US. Individual crocheters work yarn with a loose or a tight hold, and if unmeasured, these differences can lead to significant size changes in finished garments that have the same number of stitches. In order to control for this inconsistency, printed crochet instructions include a standard for the number of stitches across a standard swatch of fabric. An individual crocheter begins work by producing a test swatch and compensating for any discrepancy by changing to a smaller or larger hook. North Americans call this gauge, referring to the result of these adjustments. British crocheters speak of tension, which refers to the crafter's grip on the yarn while producing stitches. One of the more obvious differences is that crochet uses one hook, while much knitting uses two needles. In most crochet, the artisan usually has only one live stitch on the hook, with the exception being Tunisian crochet, while a knitter keeps an entire row of stitches active simultaneously. Drop stitches, which can unravel a knitted fabric, rarely interfere with crochet work due to a second structural difference between knitting and crochet. In knitting, each stitch is supported by the corresponding stitch in the row above, and it supports the corresponding stitch in the row below, whereas crochet stitches are only supported by and support the stitches on either side of it. If a stitch in a finished crocheted item breaks, the stitches above and below remain intact, and because of the complex looping of each stitch, the stitches on either side are unlikely to come loose unless heavily stressed. Round or cylindrical patterns are simple to produce with a regular crochet hook, but cylindrical knitting requires either a set of circular needles or 3 to 5 special double-ended needles. Many crocheted items are composed of individual motifs, which are then joined, either by sewing or crocheting, whereas knitting is usually composed of one fabric, such as entrelac. Freeform crochet is a technique that can create interesting shapes in 3 dimensions, because new stitches can be made independently of previous stitches almost anywhere in the crocheted piece. It is generally accomplished by building shapes or structural elements onto existing crocheted fabric at any place the crafter desires. Knitting can be accomplished by machine, while many crochet stitches can only be crafted by hand. The height of knitted and crocheted stitches is also different. A single crochet stitch is twice the height of a knit stitch in the same yarn size and comparable diameter tools, and a double crochet stitch is about 4 times the height of a knit stitch. While most crochet is made with a hook, there is also a method of crocheting with a knitting loom. This is called loomchet. Slip stitch crochet is very similar to knitting. Each stitch and slip stitch crochet is formed the same way as a knit or purl stitch, which is then bound off. A person working in slip stitch crochet can follow a knitted pattern with knits, purls, and cables and get a similar result. It is a common perception that crochet produces a thicker fabric than knitting, tends to have less give than knitted fabric, and uses approximately a third more yarn for a comparable project than knitted items. Although this is true when comparing a single crochet swatch with a stockinette swatch, both made with the same size yarn and needle hook, it is not necessarily true for crochet in general. Most crochet uses far less than a third more yarn than knitting for comparable pieces, and a crocheter can get similar feel and drape to knitting by using a larger hook or thinner yarn. Tunisian crochet and slip stitch crochet can in some cases use less yarn than knitting for comparable pieces. According to sources claiming to have tested the one-third more yarn assertion, a single crochet stitch, SC, uses approximately the same amount of yarn as knit garter stitch, but more yarn than stockinette stitch. Any stitch using yarn overs uses less yarn than single crochet to produce the same amount of fabric. Cluster stitches, which are in fact multiple stitches worked together, will use the most length. Standard crochet stitches like SC and DC also produce a thicker fabric, more like knit garter stitch. This is part of why they use more yarn. Slip stitch can produce a fabric much like stockinette that is thinner and therefore uses less yarn. Any yarn can be either knitted or crocheted, provided needles or hooks of the correct size are used, but the cord's properties should be taken into account. For example, lofty, thick woolen yarns tend to function better when knitted, which does not crush their airy structure, while thin and tightly spun yarn helps to achieve the firm texture required for amigurumi crochet. Differences between crochet and knitting. Most crochet uses one hook and works upon one stitch at a time. Crochet may be worked in circular rounds without any specialized tools. Knitting uses two or more straight needles that carry multiple stitches. Unlike crochet, knitting requires specialized needles to create circular rounds. For amigurumi, crocheting creates a knobbier and more structured texture compared with knitting.